Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Yud Aleph. Before we begin our shiur, let us glance at the side where we offer a topic heading and structural notes. On the side, you will notice we have something called a Nosei Klali. It means a general topic heading, and we indicate that this will last till Amud Beis. Mikan ad emtsa Amud Beis, from this point till the middle of the Amud Beis, Hagemora mevia hamakuros, the Gemara will bring sources, l'ta'arichim shehuzkru bebraisa besof yud Amud Beis. So you will recall that we had a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua had appeared, giving a series of dates or tarichim, as we call them in Hebrew, times or dates for various events that have taken place, and in fact some in regarding the future. You will take a note, we have a mivneh, a structural note, and we also indicate that this note is pertinent ad omid beis. Now we've written here that there are numbers that you'll notice, 1 through 4. And they will be running down Tzad Yamin Shel HaGemara. Those numbers will be running down the right-hand side of the Gemara text. These are Noisim HaShnuyim B'machlokas. These are topics that were subject of controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. As we noted, the Brisa that began at the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. The letter numbering system, those you will see appear Tzad Smol, on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. These are Noisim Shebahaskama. These are topics or dates that were in agreement. Mispur ze mituam im ha-mispur bebraiso sheshchila besof Yudom Ebeis. The numbering here corresponds to the numbers that appeared in the Brisa that began at the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. You see there, we had learned at the end of our previous year, the Tanaic source beginning 5 lines from the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. So the numbering that we're going to be using throughout this Amid of Gemara and also on Amid Beis, all these numbers correspond back to the numbers in the Tanaic source. Now, the opening topic, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where a crown shape appears. The crown highlights the names Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. These are Mekoros L'shitoiseihem B'tarich Brias Ha'olam. We're going to see sources for their respective opinions regarding the date for the creation of the world. Rabbi Eliezer says Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says Nisan. So now the Gemara. Maybe note ahead of time, just to get an overview, where these shapes appear. As you see Rabbi Eliezer in the crown at this point, and if you just skim down about 6-7 lines, at the end of line you'll see Rabbi Yeshua. As we said, the numbers that you will notice on the right-hand side of the Gemara text, these are numbers that correspond to the Brisa where there were a number of different topics with their dates recorded. So now we continue. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Minayin Shebetishrei Nivra Olam. From where do we know that in the month of Tishrei the world was created? Shinemar Vayomer Elokim, Tadshei Haoretz Deshe, Esev Mazriya Zera, Eitz Pri. The Pasuk features the creation, during the 6 days of creation, this is the day referring to the creation of the grasses and the trees. And at the end of the pasuk, it mentions Eitz Pri, a tree that has fruits on it. The term Eitz Pri indicates that the fruit is complete. Ezu chodesh sha'aretz maleya d'shoyim ve'ilon mole peros. What month of the year is characterized by the fields being filled with grass and the trees with complete fruit on them? Hevei Omer, Zeh Tishrei, that's characteristic of the month of Tishrei. Tishrei corresponds to, roughly speaking, the September area of the secular calendar. So you're dealing with a time that's at the end of the summer, and there is a lot of fruits on the trees at that point. V'oisoi haperek, that time, zman revia hoiso, that's the time that when we speak about Tishrei, regarding the land of Israel, we speak about a rainy season and which is associated with the winter season and the non-rainy season, half year rain, half year non-rain. So that is the time, the Tishrei is the time that is Zman Revia. So Revia is a reference to rainfall. That's the time you expect the rainfall to start. V'yordu geshomim v'tzimchu, and rain fell and caused growth. Shenemar v'eid yale min haaretz. Eid is a cloud, and we're associating this with a rain cloud. The Rashi that you'll notice in the upper part of the narrow lines, v'oisoi haperek zmanhu lebehemo v'chayo lizokek zelozeh. Actually, let us just withdraw from that Rashi for the time being. Rather, Rashi, four lines from the very top. V'oisoi aperek zman revio have klomar v'raya ladover shebetishrei nivra olam, and proof that Tishrei was the month in which the world was created. Shrei l'gishomim hoyutzrichim, they needed rain. That's the time that rain is expected to come. V'tishrei zman revio hi, and that's the time of rainfall. And the proof is in this pasuk where it says the Eid Yale Min Haaretz is part of the creation story. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yoshua with the next crown. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Minayin Sheben Nisan Nivra Olam. From where do you know that the world was created in the month of Nisan? Shinema Vatoitse Haaretz Deshe Esev Mazria Zera. The Eitz Oise Pri. Now this is a different pasuk than the one we saw before. This is what actually happened. And it says in this pasuk, Vatotze Oretz Deshe, and it doesn't say Vatad She. And it says Eitz Oise Pri. It doesn't say Eitz Pri. So that by saying Eitz Oise Pri, you're referring to a time that the tree start producing the fruits, not complete fruits. Ezu chodesh sha'aretz motzia d'shoyim. What is the month where the ground brings forth the grasses? V'ilon motzi peros, and trees start to produce the fruit. Hevi omer zeh Nisan. That's characteristic of Nisan, which you can associate with the in the secular calendar April, the springtime. The Oiso Haperek Zman Behemo V'chayo V'oif Shemizdavgim Ze Eitzel Ze. That is the time where animals mate with one another. Shinemar, and the posuk that indicates that, Lobshu Korim Hatzon. This is a posuk that we've seen in a previous shiur. We spent a lot of time on this posuk. And what's important regarding this quote is the Vehule, the continuation of the Pasuk, and Rashi makes reference to this, that Lov Shukorim, Bizman, Rashi says, Bizman, Shisro, Shibolim, Benisan. The mating of the sheep, of the animals, was at a time that the sheaves in the fields rustled, and that is in the month of Nisan. Now, you'll notice there's a comment by the Bach, a very pertinent comment on the Bach. You'll find at the bottom part of the page in Os Dalet, in the second line of the Bach commentary, so in the middle of the line, he quotes Nira B'Einai Sforim Achirim V'Gabi Brias Ha'olam Ksiv. This pasuk of Lav Shukamar Atzon is a pasuk that is associated with the creation. D'chtiv Li'el Minei Meichin Horim B'Koichai. It says before that, the Almighty preparing the mountains. In other words, He created the mountains. So that you're dealing here with a pasuk of creation. And what do you see here? You see that the animals are mating. And what season does that happen? That happens in the month of Nisan. Hence, Rabbi Yeshua's proof to his point of view that in Nisan the world was created. The Idoch, now what the Gemara does is, it often does throughout the Shas, it goes with a back and forth. What does each one do with the other one's sources? The Idoch, Nami Hoksiv Eitz Oisipri, regarding Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with the pasuk that says the time that trees start producing fruits, which would have indicated Nisan as creation time, not like Rabbi Eliezer who claimed Tishrei? Answer, Hahu Lebrocha Ledoros Hu Dichtiv. That pasuk is not describing what happened, but rather it's a blessing to future generations that trees shall continue producing fruits throughout the generations. But as far as right now, at the time of creation, the pasuk that's descriptive is the pasuk that said Eitz Pri, trees that were full of complete fruits. The Idoch, now we look at Rabbi Yeshua, for Idoch Nami Hogsiv Eitz Pri, Rabbi Yeshua, who held that Nisan was the time of creation, what does he do with this pasuk, Eitz Pri, which would have indicated Tishrei? Hahu, that pasuk says, the Tana Rabbi Yeshua, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, comes to teach that which was manifest later in time by the Amora of Yeshua ben Levi, Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Maisa Breshis, Bekoimosa Nivru, L'dayton Nivru, L'tziv Yoinon Nivru. All the entities that were created at the time of creation were created with these conditions. So we read a few words, Koimoson, L'dayton, and Sivyonon. And we'll take a look at Rashi to explain these terms. B'Koimoson Nivru, V'hainu Eitz Pri, Roy Hoyo, L'ton Pri Miyad. The trees that were created at the time of creation were trees that were complete trees. They were fit to bear their fruits immediately. L'daitom, Rashi says, Shalom im chafetzim liboros v'yomru hein. The Almighty asked all of the entities that were created, do you want to be created? And they responded, yes. B'tzivyoinom, Rashi says, B'tam echod v'echod b'tfus kol echod, each one with its unique characteristics. So that Eitz Pri is an indicator of the complete element, the complete nature of those items, including the trees that were created. But as far as the time of creation, that is captured in the pasuk that says Eitz Oisipri. The Gemara now quotes the pasuk that indicates that at the time of creation, at the initial creation, things were created as complete adult-like things, with trees, animals, and people. You can just imagine at the time of creation, Adam and Eve, they weren't created as one-day-old babies, having to fend for themselves in that state. They were created as complete human beings. And by the way, this is a certain approach that many take when dealing with the age of the world, the age of the universe. How do we account for very ancient dates for the world and the universe, when our counting seems to indicate something much more recent? So this is a topic I personally don't want to get involved with, but I just want to point out that one school of thought will tell you that the calculations reflect that which would be if things went through a gradual developmental process. However, at the time of creation, things were completed already in a complete state. As we just cited as an example, the creation of man, they weren't created as babies, they were created as complete adult human beings. So too, the world was created in a complete fashion with with all of the aged elements as part of it. That's a little bit off the topic, but and nevertheless, the pasuk that's cited for this idea is Vayachlu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. Al Tikri Tzva'am. Don't read the pasuk as that, but rather Ela Tzivyoinam. They were all created in their unique, complete fashion. We continue with another topic heading we have on the side. We refer to this as a subtopic, and the Mivne, the structural note, we feature a diamond, and that highlights the names Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. We did that in the previous discussion with crown markings. The reason for varying the shape is because this is a new topic, although we're using the same names. We change the shape to a diamond. These are Makoros L'shitoseim, the Tarich Leda Sa'ovois, sources for each one of their respective opinions regarding the date of the birth of Avraham and Yankiv. Rabbi Lezer holding Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua holding Nisan. So we continue in the Gemara. Of course, you notice in number 2, the second topic concerning which they have a machlokas. You might want to try to skim ahead just to note where the Rabbi Yeshua point of view is quoted, third to last narrow line of Gemara. We continue. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayin Sheba Tishrei Noldu Ovas. From where do we know that in the month of Tishrei, the forefathers, the patriarchs, were born, specifically Avram and Yankiv? Yitzchak is dealt with separately. Shneamar Vayikvalu El HaMelech Shloimoi Kol Ish Yisrael B'Yerach Ho'esonim B'Chag. The word B'Chag indicates Sukkis time. Sukkis is in the month of Tishrei, and it's described as Yerach Ho'esonim. Yerach shenoldu boi esone oilom. The month, Yerach is the month in which the esone, the strong ones of the world, were born. The patriarchs. My mashma dahai eson lishna de tekifi hu. From where do you know that the word eson refers to something that is strong, that's solid? Kidiftiv. Eson Moishavecha. Thy dwelling place is Eson, is strong and solid. Now what the Gemara does in the next couple lines is it links the word Eson, which we said is strong, with the patriarchs. So that Yeruch Esonim, we can then understand the month of the patriarchs, in which they were born. So that's what happens now. V'omer, Shimu Horim Es Riv Hashem V'Ha'esonim Moiste Oretz. In this pasuk, there's a link between Horim and Esonim. So that which is Horim is that which is Eson. Now, Horim, we're going to see shortly, is a reference to is a word that can refer to the patriarchs. V'Yomer Kol Doidi Hine Ze Medaleg Al HeHorim Mekapetz Al Hagvois. The pasuk reflects an idea of time being hastened, if you will, the exile being hastened to reach the redemption faster than otherwise. Medaleg al hehorim, that means that medaleg means skipping ahead. Al hehorim means bischus ovois. Now we've dashed underlined the word horim because that's what we want to show, that that's a reference to the patriarchs. And mekapetz al hagvos, mekapetz is to skip over the hills, which medaleg al hehorim, it is mekapetz means bischus imos, in the merit of the matriarchs. But what we have done here is demonstrated with the psukim and of course our markings. You can see a linkage between Eson and the Avos. The Avos, as referred to here as the Horim, and Horim was connected with Esonim, and Esonim means that which is strong. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Minayin Sheben Nisan Noldu Avos. Now we turn to Rabbi Yeshua's approach. From where do we know that in Nisan the forefathers, the patriarchs, were born. Shenemar vayi b'shmoinim shana v'arba meis shana litzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim b'shana horavias b'chidish ziv. That is a pasuk, and that means for us the pasuk is referring to in the time of King Solomon and time of Shlomo HaMelech, the 480th year since the departure of Mitzrayim, and it mentions it was in the, and the pasuk speaks about in his, the fourth year in the month of Ziv. That's Beyerach Shenoldu Boi Zivsone Oilam, the month in which the bright ones, the shining ones of the world were created. Now, were born. Now, Chodesh Ziv, generally speaking, it means the month of Iyar. But for our purposes, what it means is that in the month of Iyar, they had already been born. So they were born in the month of Nisan. The Gemara continues, v'hok siv b'yerach ha'isonim, but what does Rabbi Yeshua do with the fact the Pasuk said in the month of the Esonim, and we saw that that's a reference to Tishrei. The Gemara answers, hosam detakif b'mitzvos, the month of Tishrei is strong in mitzvos. In the month of Tishrei there are a number of mitzvos that one observes, and Rashi lists Shofar, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Lulav, Arava, Nisuch HaMayim, that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'idoch, the Gemara continues, Ve'idoch nami hoksib b'chodesh ziv, Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with regard to the posuk that said chodesh ziv, which we know is the month of Iyar, and it's referred to as such previously because it was a reference to the shining ones, the patriarchs. But Rebbe Lezer holds that the patriarchs were born in the month of Tishrei. So Rebbe Lezer will tell you, Hahu de is be ziva li'ilni. Iyar is described as the month that the trees have a radiance about them. And that's a reference to the blossoming of fruits on the trees. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Hai Man De Nofik B'Yoyimin Nisan, he who goes out in the Nisan season, V'chazi Ilni De Malavlevi, and he sees trees, fruit trees that are blossoming. Oimer Boruch Shelo Chiser Me'oma is a special bracha that one says, and here, and as is usual in the Shas, it's a bit abbreviated, but the text would be Boruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and the bracha continues Shelo Chiser Me'olamo Klum, that he left nothing out of his world, uvara boi briois toivois, vilonois toivois, lehis gois bohen b'nei Adam. Lehis nois bohen b'nei Adam. He created these fine creatures and fine trees for the lehis nois, for the benefit of mankind. So we see that the spring season, Nisan, Iyar, is the time that the trees start to blossom, and we even have a bracha that acknowledges that. The Gemara continues, and you'll note over here that we have point 3 is mentioned on the side. Man de Omar b'Nisan noldu b'Nisan mesu. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the Ovos also died in the same month that they had been born many years earlier. Man du Omar b'Tishrei noldu b'Tishrei mesu. And Rebbe Lezer holds that the month of Tishrei in which they were born, so many years later, they died in that month. By the way, we also have a long marking. We're calling this number 3, but we could also refer to this as a long point. And the idea here is that whether you're Rebbe Yeshua or Rebbe Lezer, you agree on the point that the time of death corresponds to the time of birth. This concept of living out one's life to a in completion, that the time is completed, a complete year. So this idea has a source. Shneamar vayomer lehem. This is Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life said to the people, Ben me'av v'esrim shana anoichi hayoyim. He says, I am 120 years old today. She'ain't Talmud Lomar Hayom. What's the significance of saying today? Uma Talmud Lomar Hayom. So what does it teach me? Hayom Molu Yomai Ushnoisai. Today is what we would say, I'm celebrating my 120th birthday. L'lam d'cho, this teaches us, Sha'akodesh Baruch Hu Yoyshev U'memalei Shnoiseyem Shel Tzadikim Miyoyim Liyoyim Mechoydesh L'choydesh. The Almighty sits and completes the lifetime of the righteous from day to day, from month to month. In other words, the idea being that on the date of the birth of Eitz Tzadik, that is the date on which he will die. Shenemar es mispar yomecho amale. I will complete your life, the number of days of your life. At this point, the lettering system kicks in. You notice on the left-hand side of the Omid, Aleph, this is now the first point in which we saw agreement. So we're not going to see any attempt to highlight Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua as two separate opinions on these matters because they agree. The Pesach nolad Yitzchok. We had mentioned that on Pesach Yitzchok was born minolon. From where do we know that? Kedichtiv. So the Gemara answers, there is a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lamoyed Oshuv Elecha. Rashi says, Lamoyed Oshuv Elecha, Leyointiv Habo Rishon. The first holiday after our encounter. This is the Almighty informing Avram of the birth of his son. So he's saying that the first Yom Tov that comes after our meeting today, Lusora Bain, and she will bear a child. V'choma sh'ata yochol laharchik Yom HaBesura Yom HaLeida Harchikem. As much as you can distance the two holidays from one another, try to distance them so that we can allow Limtso Yemei Ibor HaVlad Bein Shneim, so that you can account for a time of pregnancy between the two holidays. The Eina Toyochol Harchika Ela Mimoyed LeMoyed. In a maximum that you can do is to create as much of a gap between two holidays. In other words, we didn't mention this point earlier, but the communication of the Almighty with Avram was on a holiday, and the Kodesh Baruch was saying that just like we're speaking together on a holiday, the next holiday she will already be holding a child. So now what the Gemara does, and it takes a couple stages, and we have on the side under our topic heading, we indicate the HaKadosh, we should say the Tat Nosei Mivnet. We have a subtopic heading with a structural note. The Gemara will feature, in our markings, will feature a volcano or trapezoid shape. These are shlavim, stages, lochiach the Yitzchok neilad bePesach, that to point this out, that Yitzchok was born on Pesach. So it takes a few stages of Gemara analysis to discover that. At this point, we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to Avram on a holiday, and the next holiday he would already be holding a son. So let's try to figure this out. Amos, so the Gemara asks, we should say, Amos Minolon, from where do we know that on Pesach Yitzchok was born? So we read this already in the Gemara, Kidachtiv la Moyed Oshuve Lecha. Amos Koi, so when is he standing? When is Avram receiving this communication from the Almighty? Elemo bePesach, if the initial communication, prophecy, if you will, was on Pesach, the Ka'omar Lei Ba'atzeres, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that the next month with Atzeres, which we know is Shavuos, you will have a child. Bechamshin Yoimin Mi Koyolda, within 50 days does a woman give birth. Ela Tekoi Ba'atzeres, rather, he's standing on Shavuos, and the immediate next holiday would be in the month of Tishrei, where you have Sukkis, the Komale, Betishrei. Now, Shavuos is in the month of Sivan. So you have from Sivan Tammuz of Elul Tishrei. You've got, if you count, you inclusive, Sivan 1, Tammuz 2, Ov 3, Elul 4, Tishrei 5. Akati b'chamisha yarchi mikoyolda. Within 5 months does a woman give birth? No. Elo dekoi b'sukis v'ko'omar lo b'nisan. Rather, he is standing, receiving the communication on the holiday of Sukkot, and the next holiday following Sukkot is Pesach. And that is what we are looking for. That B'Nisan, that's what we dashed, underlined that, that Yitzchak would be born. You notice that we have a bracketed section, and it lasts a couple of lines. But we should also note, as we're our note on the side by the starred note reads, Sograim Elu Einom L'Shem Diluk. These brackets are not for skipping purposes. Elo Laharois Ta'ad Kan Ikur HaYichocho. Just to point out that we have arrived, this up to this point we've seen the main proof. B'socha Sograim Gemor Menaseh L'Dchoysa Avo L'Loy Hatzlocha. Within the brackets there's an attempt to reject what we just said, but it won't be successful. That having been said, we continue in the Gemara, in the brackets. Akati, but still, when you go from Sukkot to Pesach, you're dealing with a passage of 6 months. Akati b'shisa yarchi mi kol yolda. Does a woman give birth within 6 months? The Gemara says that's not a problem. Tana, we're taught, oisa shana mu'uberes hoisa. That year was a leap year. Is an interesting pun over here, a play on words. Muberes also means a pregnant woman. The year was pregnant, so it's with an extra month. So that when you're going from Nisa, from Tishrei, Sukkot time, to Pesach, in the middle we're adding another month. There's, the month of Adar is doubled. That's a Shana Muberes. So, but still, even if you say you've accounted for 7 months, Ki madli mor yomituma, when you subtract, madli is subtract, the days of defilement. A woman, in order to have a child, in order to be capable of having a child, she has to experience the female monthly cycle, the nida cycle, menstruancy. So that during that time, a woman is forbidden to be with her husband. So for Avram to have been able to unite with his wife to impregnate her, he would have had to wait a little while, whether it be a week, 2 weeks. You have to wait a little while before he could actually be with her. So if he received the information on Sukkot, he wasn't able to be immediately with her. So you're actually subtracting from the seven months. Of course, we didn't emphasize this, but when you say 7 months, that is an acceptable time of pregnancy. There are 7 month births, but what the Gemara is arguing right now is that you don't even have that because you have to subtract the Yoimei Tumah. The Gemara answers Omar Mar Zutra. There is a response to that. This idea of a 7 month birth exists even if you don't have 7 complete months. The Gemara says, "Afilu lemanda omar yuledes letisha eino yuledes lemikutoyin." Even according to the opinion that a full term pregnancy, a 9 month pregnancy, must be for a healthy child to be born, 9 full months. Eino yuledes mikutoyin means she doesn't give birth in fragmented months, but 9 full months. However, yuledes l'shiva, yuledes l'mikutoyin. A woman who has a 7 month pregnancy, the 7 months aren't necessarily complete months, and still, even if they're not complete, but result in a healthy child. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates this, it says vayihi l'tkufos hayomim. That Pesuk is dealing with a pregnancy as well, the pregnancy of Chana, the mother of Shmuel, and we understand this Pesuk to mean miut tkufos, Shtayim Tkufa is a season, and there are four seasons during the year, each season being 3 months. The minimum of the word Tkufas is seasons in plural, two. Minimum of plural is two. So, Miut Tkufas, the minimum of seasons, when you speak in the plural, is two. That's week 6 months. Miut Yomim, the word Yomim appeared in the Pasuk as well, is Shnayim, is two. So, a birth can take place after 6 months and 2 days. And that is working into the seventh month, but it's not complete 7 months, and yet that's considered a regular pregnancy resulting in a living child. So that, as we said right before the brackets, and that's why we had the brackets, that answer stuck, namely that the communication was in Sukkos, and the birth was the immediate next holiday, as was indicated by the Pasuk, Lamoyed Oshuv Eilecha. The immediate next month holiday is Pesach, which took place 6 plus months later. Seven months. Even if you subtract a couple days because of the tumah, you still have an acceptable term pregnancy, a 7 month pregnancy. Just to emphasize the main point, what we were trying to prove is that pregnancy ended with the birth of Yitzchak on Pesach, in the month of Nisan. Here you notice a beis, the second point of agreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Barosh Hashanah nifkida Sara Rachel v'chana. On the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, so the Almighty remembered. That's the best translation we can offer right now for the word nifkida, but it has to do with the Almighty's awareness being aroused concerning the plight of these women, Sora, Rachel, and Chana, in their quest to bear a child. So that event of Nifkida took place on Rosh Hashanah. Minoma, from where do we know this? So Rebbe Lazar will answer. He answers that with a series of Gezerah Shava, of word comparisons, we can account for that regarding each one of these women. Asya pkida pkida, asya zechira zechira. And that will become clear as we go on, but asya, there comes forth a pkida pokad, or pkida word comparison, and the zechira comparison. Ksiv b'rochel, it says regarding Rochel, vayizkor Elohim es Rochel. So what we've done here is we've linked together Rochel with Chana through the word Zechira. The Asya Zechira Zechira May Rosh Hashanah. And what we're now going to do is link the word Zechira associated with Rosh Hashanah. Dechtiv, it says regarding Rosh Hashanah, Shaboson Zichron Trua. That's a pasuk regarding Rosh Hashanah, where you see the word Zechira used. We continue. Pekida, Pekida. Ksiv b'chana. Now, what we're going to do is link Chana, who has already been associated with Zechira, having linked her together with Rachel, and having linked, therefore, Chana and Rachel with Rosh Hashanah. Now, the last stage is to get Sora into the picture, and we do this with the word Pekido. Ksiv b'chano ki pokad Hashem es chano. Uksiv b'sora v'Hashem pokad es Sora. So that enables us to link Sora with chano. And that links us back with the information beforehand. Chano linked with Rachel, and Zechira linked us with Rosh Hashanah. And since we created this links in the chain, we realized that the three women were remembered by the Almighty on Rosh Hashanah. Now, point Gimel, point of agreement, third point of agreement. But Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef Beis Asurin. On Rosh Hashanah, Yosef left his incarceration or his captivity that he suffered in Egypt. Minolan, where do we know that from? the pasuk says Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. Of course, this is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk goes on to say pasuk hey ki choik Yisrael hu v'chulei. And we continue though in the pasuk, the chain of psukim. This is pasuk vav. We at the top of Amud Beis Edus b'yosef samoy b'tseisoy al eretz Mitzrayim. But say so, he left his incarceration at that point. So we see Yosef, even though it's spelled with a hey, it's a reference to Yosef. Barosh Hashanah botla avoida me'avoseinu b'mitzrayim. This is point Dalet, the fourth point of agreement. That's why we have a Dalet to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So this was that on Rosh Hashanah, the enslavement of the Jews in Mitzrayim came to a halt. Ksiv hocha v'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. That's a reference to being taken out from under the oppression of Mitzrayim. But uksiv hasam regarding the pasuk that in Tehillim. Pei Aleph, this is Pasuk Zion. It's noteworthy that this is the continuation of the Pasuk that we just had dealt with before featuring Yosef. It says in that Pasuk, we saw that it was talking about Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv Hasam Hasiroisi Misevel Shichmoi. So that this is... The word sevel is linked with the word sivlos before, and this pasuk hasiris b'sevel shichmo we already proved was talking about Rosh Hashanah. So the pasuk v'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim being released from the oppression of Egypt was on Rosh Hashanah. Point hey, point of agreement b'nisan nigalu. In the month of Nisan, they were redeemed from Egypt. In other words, they left Egypt. Kidi'isa, that is as the Torah itself records. Now here we have a number four that would indicate that we have a point of disagreement. It was the last point mentioned in the source, and we have a little aleph here, and a few lines later a beis. On the side of our Gemara, our Nosei Mivne heading, the Aleph and Beis are Makoros, Lashitos, Rabbi Elezer, who is Aleph, and Rabbi Yeshua will appear under Beis. B'mosai Tia Hagulo Asida. When will the future redemption take place? So we continue. B'tishrei Asidim Ligoyel, and this is, we note, according to Rabbi Elezer. The future redemption will be in the month of Tishrei. Asya Shofar Shofar. We compare, we do a word link, a Gezerah Shava, using the word Shofar. Ksiv Hocha Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. And we went, that pasuk was said, B'Kesel Yom Chagenu. That pasuk is talking about Rosh Hashanah, as we've already proven. Ksiv Hasam, regarding the future redemption, it says, B'Yom Hahu Yitoka B'Shofar Godol. So the word Shofar is common to both psukim, one of which a reference was made to Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Benison Nigalu, Benison Asidim Nigalu. Now, you can see with our markings, we're highlighting that which is important for us right now. And we also place the beis right here to contrast with the aleph a few lines above, where we had noted Betishrei Asidim Nigalu. Here, Rabbi Yeshua says, Benison Asidim Nigalu. Minolan, from where do you know that? Omar Kro Leil Shimurim. This pasuk is in the context of Pesach, in the original Pesach in Mitzrayim, which we already know was in Nisan. And the word Leil Shimurim means Leil Hamishumar Ubo Misheshis Yemei Bracious. It's the day that has been preserved and guarded from the very beginning of time, in anticipation of the eventual redemption. So, whatever time the original redemption took place was, which was in Nisan, so too the future redemption will take place. The Idach, Rebbe Elezer, who said that the future redemption is in Tishrei, What does he do with this pasuk? Laila hameshumor ba min hamazikin. Mazikin are called demonic forces, and they can affect a person. They can be injurious, subject people to danger, to pain. Anyway, the night of Pesach, though, is a night that has a special segula, a special characteristic, in that a person is not subject to the effects of the mazikin, of these demonic forces at that night. And that's what shimurim means, guarded from the mazikin. Now, here in our Gemara markings, we have a slash mark. That's to create the feeling that a new discussion is taking place. In effect, it's a throwback to that which had been mentioned quite a bit earlier, but here we're finished basically with the analysis of the dates that were mentioned in the Braisa at the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. Here the Gemara makes a point, and it's a long point. You can see we've marked this as a long point, basically taking in a Tanaic source. On the side of the Gemara, before we continue, let us read the Nosei, the topic heading. V'ozdu l'tamayu. Now, that means that they, that's a reference to Rabbi Elezer and Rishua, go according to their opinions. There's an element of consistency. So, what we've written on under our Nosei is Machloikis Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua be'inyin ta'arich l'briyos ha'olam. The machloikis that they have had regarding the date of the world's creation, the Rabbi Elazar equals Tishrei, Rabbi Yeshua equals Nisan, makbil is parallel, l'shitasam regarding their opinions, b'minyan hadoros, when it comes to recording the generations, from what point do you record dates or ages of generations? Kafish is a bali de bitui bekesher letarichei hamabul bizman noyach. This will be manifest when it comes to recording the dates of the flood, the great flood in the time of Noyach. The Rebbe Elazar Haminyan mitishrei, from with regard to Shitas Rebbe Elazar that we'll see, he counts things using Tishrei as a starting point. And Rabbi Yeshua minisan. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the counting will be from Nisan. So that when you're dealing with recording progress of time, their frame of reference parallels their opinions already expressed regarding the creation of the world. So we now continue in the Gemara. The Ozdu l'tamayu. They, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, are consistent with what they have already said regarding Bria Solom in another topic, Desanya. We have a Tanaic source that you can see itself, it goes till Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The source opens up with the Mabul, and it says, Bishnas Sheish Meis Shana L'Chai Noyach. This is a pasuk regarding the beginning of the flood, and it was in the 600th year of Noach's life. B'chodesh Hasheni B'shivos or Yoim L'chodesh, in the second month, the 17th of that month. Now, the second month, we're talking about him having celebrated his 600th birthday. And it says B'chodesh Hasheni, the second month after celebrating his 600th birthday. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua, who said that in Nisan the world was created, he says, "Oisayoyim Yud Zayin Beir Hoya." That was the 17th of Iyor. Now Iyor is the second month. In other words, there was a transition into a new year, and we're into the second month of the new year. So when did the new year begin? Began in Nisan, and that's what we mean by Rabbi Yeshua being consistent when he's recording, transition of years with regard to calculations of generations, of people's ages and generations. The frame of reference is Nisan as being the beginning of the year. So here we're referring to the second month after that, which was the month of Iyar. It's a Yoim She Mazel Kimo Shokea Bayam. Mazel, loosely translated, is a constellation. The constellation of Kimo, name of one of the different constellations that are referred to often in the Shas, that Mazel Shokea Bayom, it was setting during the daytime hours. The constellations, Rashi is very lengthy about this. Here's a long description of these celestial events. The Mazel of Kimo at that time of year is during the daytime, not in the heavens. Umayonos Mismatim, and the wells, the wellsprings of the world are diminishing. And since the generation of the flood, the pre-flood generation, changed their ways, they lived in a perverted lifestyle, if you will, a life of aberration. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu also dealt with them in an equal and a balanced fashion. Just like they perverted things, the Kodesh Baruch Hu changed the ways of nature. The Helo Mazel Kimo Bayom, and he, instead of the Mazel Kimo setting by day, he caused it to rise by day. The Notal Shnei Koychovim Mikimo, he then took two stars from that constellation, the Hevi Mabul Laolam. Through the removal of those stars, the flood set in. So the flood, naturally a world event, is calculated in terms of having happened starting in the month of Iyar, and Iyar is called the second month, indicating that the calculation starts from Nisan, which is the beginning, and that corresponds to the beginning of the world, the time that the world was created. So we can speak about this, or we have shown over here, as Rabbi Yeshua, who said the world was created in Nisan, Nisan being the starting point for countings. You see how here too, with regard to the flood, Nisan is the beginning point in terms of counting years. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer held that in the month of Tishrei the world was created. So that in calculation of world events, of cataclysmic natural events and generational progress, time progress, Tishrei will be the beginning point as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned. And so, how do we see this with regard to the flood? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Oysayom Yudzayim b'Mar Cheshvan Hoya. It was the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. Again, we're emphasizing that it's the second month. It was the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, the first month then being Tishrei. And that is consistent with Rabbi Elazar holds Tishrei Nivra Olam. So the second month of the 600th year of Noach, according to Rabbi Elazar, was the 17th of Tishrei. Yom Shem Mazel Kima Oyle Bayom. It is a time of a year where the Mazel Kima rises by day. U Mayonois Misgabrim, and the subterranean water wells are rising. The water level rises. And we continue at the top of Yud Beis Omid Aleph. Umitoch She Shinu Maaseim Shino Hakodesh Baruch Hu Aleim Maise Brachus, and since they behaved in the pre-flood generation behaved in a perverted lifestyle, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu changed the laws of nature regarding them. VeHelo Mazel Kimo BeYom VeNotal Shnei Kechovim VeHevi Mabul LeOlam. Now this phrase VeHelo Mazel Kimo Bayom is something that will have to be explained later, because that, in fact, is not a change on the Kodesh Baruch Hu's part. That is what generally happens in the month of Cheshvan, that Kimo rises. rises by day. Now, the Gemara goes, the next few lines, looks at the two shitas that we've just had. Bishlamo, the Rabbi Yoshua, things make sense according to Rabbi Yoshua. Hainu dichtiv, sheni, it says, chodesh sheni, and Rabbi Yoshua described that as Iyar. Iyar is known, it's well known to be the second month. When we speak about the order of months, and we've learned about this already in our Masechta, the order of months begins with Nisan, the second month, Iyar. So the Pasuk describing Iyar as Sheni fits in well with Rabbi Yeshua's scheme of things. It's the second after Nisan. Ela l'Rebbe Eliezer, my Sheni. How can Cheshvan be described as the second month? Answer, Sheni Ladin. It's the second month after the Almighty had issued his verdict, his Gzar Din, regarding the people. So that Rashi says here briefly, Sheni Ladin, Shenigzro Gzera Alam Betishrei Shelefanav. Now we've already learned that the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of Tishrei. So it stands to reason then that this is the second month after their judgment. So the word Sheni means not second month per se, but it's the second month after their judgment. Bishlamo the Rebbe Yoshua, Hainu de Shina. With regard to Rebbe Yoshua's approach that the month, the calculation of the flood, and the second month being described as Iyar, so we can understand then the changes that the Kodesh Baruch Hu had wrought upon the people. And those included the rising of Kimo Bayom, because as we said, that's a time that Kimo generally is not functioning during the daytime. It sets during the day, so he caused it to rise. That's unnatural. And the rising of the subterranean water wells, which that's also unusual for Iyar. And he caused them to rise. Ela, l'Rebbe Eliezer, Maishina, but according to Rebbe Eliezer, where is there a change in nature regarding to the treatment of the generation of the flood? The Gemara answers, there was a shinui, there was a change in nature. There was something quite unnatural. Kidder Rav Chisda, the honor Rav Chisda, based on Rav Chisda's teaching, who said, Beroyschin kilkilu uveroyschin nidonu. They were dealt with measure for measure. They perverted themselves with roishin, and they were judged with roishin. But roishin kilkulu the Gemara explains avera. Avera is a nice short way of referring to immorality. And without getting into any vivid details, suffice it to say that the male, when he's engaged in immorality, so there is an emission from his body of a substance that we can refer to as warm liquid. Uberoischin nidonu, so since they were immoral and, as I said, perverted in their lifestyle, causing a which involved the flowing forth of a warm or hot liquid, they were judged with hot liquid. And how do we know that in the time of the flood, the we'll call it the waters that judged them were hot? And there's actually more on the topic to say than we're saying right now, but the element of measure for measure is what we want to highlight right now, that they were judged with hot liquids. Ksiv Hacha, it says Vayashochu Hamayim, in the context of the flood, it says, and the waters then cooled off, indicating they were hot. Now, how do you know that Vayashochu has to do with the cooling off of something that was hot? Ksiv Hasam, there's another pasuk where it speaks about in the time of Achashverosh and Esther, it says Vachamas Hamelech Shochocha. Shochocha is the same root as the word Vayushochu, and Hamas has to do with wrath, where a person gets heated with wrath. So that the word shachacha is an appropriate word to reflect the cooling off of something that was hot. So when you say vayashochu hamayim, the water that judged the generation of the flood happened to be hot liquid. Measure for measure, because they perverted themselves using hot liquid, they were judged accordingly. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.